Okay, so today's daf is Shabbos daf Chof. Let's begin with the Gemara in the second line of daf Chof Amud Aleph. So we just got the Mishnah said that if you roast an egg or meat or something, there has to be enough. Finished enough, or has to be roasted enough, so that it has to be roasted enough on Friday, so that there's no concern that you're going to think, oh my gosh, I need to stoke the coals on Shabbos itself. So how much? So the Gemara asks, how much? V'kama. How much does the egg have to be roasted, or the meat have to be roasted, so that there's not a significant concern that you're going to roast the coal, you're gonna change the coals, stoke the coals. Amrav Elazar Marav Kedishi Yitzol Ribod Yom. So the shear is, the amount is that Kamachal Ben Drusai. So it's the amount that it has to be roasted enough that Ben Drusai would eat the food. Ben Drusai was a thief, and he always ate on the go. And there's a machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam as to whether he would eat the food when it's half cooked or whether it's one third cooked. So from this point and on, once the food is either half cooked or a third cooked, depending on Rashi or the Rambam, so at that point we assume that since you can eat it, bishas adchak, in other words, under a pressing circumstance. Not obviously we like our food fully cooked, or most of us do. But here, even though it's only half cooked or a third cooked, it's good enough. And because it's good enough, we're not concerned that you will stoke the coals on Shabbos. And therefore, if the food is a third or a half cooked, by the time of Shabbos, Ben Drusai, you can leave the food on the stovetop. Itmar namir Rav Asi Amar V'yochan Kol Shehu Machal Ben Drusai Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachri. He said the same halacha applies also to Bishalakum. For what does that mean? If a Jew cooked the food until one third of the cooking, and then he removed it from the fire, and afterwards the non-Jew finished cooking the food, there's no prohibition of bishalakum, because there's a principle of ein bishalach or bishal. Once something has been cooked, it gets cooked some more, it doesn't take on, the second cooking is not halachically significant, and the Gemara here assumes that's the case with respect to bishalakum. Tanya Chananya Omer Chananya says Kol Shehu Machal Ben Drusai Mutter La Shosol Gavi Kira Afal Pi She'ein Grufa. As long as the food it is Machal Ben Drusai, again either a third cook or a half cook, you're allowed to leave it being cooked on the stovetop on Shabbos, and even though the oven hasn't been even though you haven't covered the coals or shoveled the coals away, even though there's burning coals there, since it's been cooked that amount, that it's fit to be eaten under pressing circumstances, we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals to speed up the cooking. The Mishnah says, "Enosin es apas." You don't put the bread in the oven unless the face of the bread becomes crusty while it's still day. Ibai lehu, the Bnei Yeshiva ask, the students in Yeshiva ask, when it says that until the tachton, when Rabbi Elazar says that the bottom of the bread has to become crusty, heach de gabe tano, we're referring to that side which is sticking to the wall of the oven. Odilma tachton heach de gabe or, we're referring to the bottom as referring to that which is by the fire. That the side, I guess they would stick their bread, like a pita bread, I guess, they'd stick it up against the wall of the oven. So one side would be facing the oven, one side would be facing the fire. So what's the tachton referring to? So Tashma, Blas Omer, Kdeshikum Panam doing betano, Hamadu Bakim betano, referring to the when it says tachton, it means that which is sticking by the oven. That has to become crusty. The Mishnah says, Mishal Shinetza Pesach, we can lower the korban.
Rashi points out that's a chumrah actually, because the side of the bread that's facing the fire gets crusty quicker. So right, to right. say that yes. you have to wait till it gets crusty on the side of the oven is even is a chumrah.
Correct, correct. That is, it takes a longer time for that to happen. Correct.
Right, for that to happen. Right, right exactly. Right.
Thank you for clarifying. So the Mishnah says, Mishal Shlin Asa Pesach. We lower the Korban Pesach meat in the oven close to dark. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason that we're allowed to do that? Even if the meat is not Kemachal Ben Drusai, this is an exception to the rule. Normally speaking, you could only cook food, start the cooking process and roasting process before Shabbos. If by the time Shabbos hits, it's Kemachal Ben Drusai. So how come here, even if it's not Machal Ben Drusai, you could put it in? So the Gemara says, Mishum de Bnei Chabura Zrizin Heim. Because you're with a bunch of people who are involved in Korban Pesach, and they're going to remind each other not to stoke the coals. Gemara says, Halav Hachi Lo. So does that mean without this reason, you wouldn't be allowed to lower it in? Vamar Mar, Gadya Bein Sharik Bein Lo Sharik Shapri Dama. We saw two dapim ago that you're allowed to roast a kid, a baby goat, the meat of baby goat in an oven, a closed oven, close to dark. Whether you smooth the oven of the cover of the oven with lime or whether you didn't, cover it with smooth it out with lime. Why? Because when you open the oven, when you roast it, that will harm the meat of the goat. So we're not concerned that you may stoke the coal. So why here? Is it only because you're with a group of people? And the Gemara answers Hasam Mintach. Yeah, there. Is talking about where you're cutting it, where there are different pieces. It's cut up in different pieces. And if you open up the oven when you're roasting it, so a lot of wind will come and will harm the quality of the meat. And therefore, we're not concerned you're going to stoke the coals. However, hacha lo minta, here you roast the meat whole. You don't cut the meat into pieces. You roast the goat whole for the Korban Pesach. As the Pasuk says, rosho al karav al kirbo. Right, the mitzvah is you roast it whole, and therefore, if you open the cover of the oven, apparently it doesn't harm the meat of the goat, and therefore we would be concerned that you might do it if you don't, that you might stoke the coals. But therefore, only with a bnei chabura, when you're doing it with a group of people, are we not concerned? Now the Mishnah says machizi besaor. So as long as the base mokad. The fire, this little furnace that was in the Azara, in the Mikdash area, once it caught fire, then you're allowed to let it continue to get hot, and to even if a little bit caught fire before Shabbos, that's good enough. We're not concerned that you're gonna stoke the coals there or move the wood around to violate Mavir, the prohibition of kindling a flame. So Gemara says Minani Mili. How do we know this heter, this leniency, that as long as it holds the fire, the fire catches hold in the base smoke close to Shabbos, it's permitted, and in other places it's not. So the Gemara clarifies, Amaravuna lo savareish b'chomoshvosechem iya tamavir v'al tamavir v'imduras beis hamoka. Torah says you shouldn't kindle a flame in all of your dwelling places, but you can in the Mikdash area. Now this is a little challenging because this seems to mention that it's like a pasuk here, at least in the assumption. So like that's a little bit challenging here because this would seem to indicate in the Havamina, at least in the assumption, then you might even be allowed to do it on Shabbos itself. So in other words, what the Gemara is talking about here is what are you allowed to do before Shabbos? What are we not concerned that you're going to do something? When are you allowed to kindle a flame before Shabbos? That how much does the flame have to hold? How much does the fire have to catch hold before Shabbos? And here we're talking about things on Shabbos itself. It would seem to indicate that maybe there's no prohibition of Havara in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's why the Gemara challenges, Maski Flor of Chista, Chista challenges us. Yachi, if so, that there's no prohibition of Havara, the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, Afilu B'Shabbos Nami, so then you should be allowed to. What's the issue of? You have to start lighting the flame in the base of Mokad before Shabbos. Even on Shabbos itself, it should be permitted. Elabar of Chista, Kraki Asa Labishrei Avar Ptar Budas. Yeah. This pasuk only permits, burning the limbs and the fats. And what happened? You would slaughter the korbanos. You'd shech the korbanos. You'd bring them during the day, and at night you would burn the leftover limbs and the fats. That's what we do all night that were left over from the korbanos during the day. So this type of havara is for God. This is for the tzarach, what's called tzarach gavoa, and therefore you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. However, burning the fire of the Beis Hamokah, that's for the Kohanim, which is so they can get warm. So that is not allowed on Shabbos. The Kohanim is reason tape. So therefore, why as long as the fire catches a little bit before Shabbos, is it good? And why are we not concerned you're going to, I don't know, stoke the coals or move the wood around on Shabbos itself? Not based on a pasuk, because Kohanim are the reason they're all B'nai Torah, and they are particular about mitzvah, so they're going to remind each other not to, you know, play with the fire on Shabbos itself. Therefore, the rabbis didn't make a gzeira. And the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "V'gvuli k'desha techos." So outside the Mikdash area, that you're only allowed to start a fire if the majority catches before Shabbos. So then we're not concerned you're going to play with the fire on Shabbos. So the Gemara clarifies, by Ruba, what does it mean, Ruba majority? So there's a machlokas amarai. Rav says, Rov kol echad v'echad, means that every single piece of wood in the fire has to take hold. The majority. The majority of every piece of wood has to take hold of it. He says, no, the shear of rove, the amount of rove, means it doesn't need to rove of the wood. It doesn't need to... I'm sorry. Let me clarify that. Rav says rove means the rove of the wood. In other words, most of the pieces of wood in the fire have to take hold. That's Rav's position. And Shmuel's position is, what's in Beruba? Shelo yomru have etzim v'aniach tachteyam. Meaning the fire doesn't have to take hold of rove of the majority of the wood. Rather, it's sufficient that you won't need to bring other thin pieces of wood to place under the wood of the furnace in order to burn. But that basically enough that the fire would continue burning by itself. Once that happens, then we're not concerned that you're going to play with the fire on Shabbos. And in fact, the Gemara brings a proof for Shmuel. Tani Rav Chia Lisir Lishmuel. Rav Chia brings a support for Shmuel because the Rav Chia darshened out from the pasuk says in the Mikdash, when you lit the menorah, it says, Lahalos Ner Tamid. What does it mean, Lahalos Ner Tamid? Kedei Shetehei Shal Heves Ola Meir Leha. That Velo Shetehei Shal Heves Ola Aydei Davar Acher. That when the pasuk says lahalos ner tamid, the intent of the pasuk is that you should light the wick of the menorah enough so that the flame goes up by itself, and not that the flame basically goes up through or is lit through something else. In other words, the point is that it has to be lit. It has to be lit without any other assistance. And then that's considered that the menorah is lit. So we can learn from the words of the Braisa. Just like by the menorah, it's enough that the flame goes by itself without any assistance. So too, you don't need that the fire is takes hold of the majority of the... I'm sorry, let me just close the shade here. And we're not concerned that we don't wait until the fire catches to the majority of the wick of the in the menorah. So too, when it comes to lighting a medura, a furnace, on Erev Shabbos, close to dark, you don't need to take hold of the majority of every stick, every piece of wood, as long as the flame can survive without any assistance. And this supports Shmuel's position. Now the Gemara is going to explain this the halacha about if you light one piece of wood on Erev Shabbos before dark. So let's say eight shechidi, one piece of wood. So that's also the debate. Rav Amar, Rov Avyo, he says the majority of the thickness. And Va'armi La, the Rov Hekefel. And some say the majority of the circumference of the wood. Amar Papa Hilkach, Ba'idin Rov Avyo, Rov Hekefel. So therefore, we're not sure. So you need to have both majority of the thickness and also majority of the, I guess, circumference. Kitanya, Kitanoi. This is like a machlokes tanoi. Rav Chia says that the amount that the fire has to hold with one piece of wood before dark is so that it's not fit for now to be do any other work. Mimlachas ha'uman, I'm saying. That enough, that the fire has reached the majority of the thickness of the wood from the inside, so it's no longer fit for any work. You know, an uman, a professional, cannot use it anymore to do whatever it does with wood. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser Omer, Kadesha Teachez ha'esh, Mishnei Tzadadim. He says, enough that the fire is taking hold from both sides of the wood, meaning what? The majority of the circumference. Vafal pish ein raya ledavar, and even though there's no proof, clear proof from the Tanakh, zeche ledavar, there's a little bit of a proof from the pasuk in Yechezkel, where the pasuk says the shneik zosos ochlo ha'esh v'socho nachor ha'id slach limlacha, meaning what? That from the time that the fire holds bishnei tzos, so eitz, on the two sides of the wood, then it's known that the moisture inside the wood has dried up and it's no longer fit for malacha, for work. So we see from here that as long as it holds on the majority of the circumference of the wood, that it's burning, it's going to continue burning from its from inside, from by itself, and it won't extinguish. The Gemara now brings a debate of the Amoraim, explaining the pasuk that mentions a meduras etzim, the burning of wood. So there in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamavav Pasuk Chav Beis, when Yehoyakim burnt Megillas Eicha, okay. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Yirmiyahu to write Megillas Eicha. There's actually a debate: was it written after the fact, or was it written as a prophecy on the fact? And so Hashem commanded Yirmiyahu to write Megillas Eicha. It was written by Baruch ben Neriah. It was brought before Yehoyakim, and they read in front of him the first psukim. When it reached the pasuk Hayutzarel Larosh, that its adversaries were basically. That no longer will the kings of Yisrael be leaders, but the adversaries will be leaders. So the king commanded to burn this Megillah inside the fire. So in Yirmiyahu it says, "Vehaach lefadav mevo ares." The ach in front of him was burning. The Amorai asked, "My ach? What is ach that was burning?" Amarav ach vada, a bonfire that's made from arava, willow wood. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Eitzim shenid lakuba akva. He says it refers to wood that binds together, like akva, like brotherhood, like wood that's bound together. And that makes the that were lit from each other. Okay, so hahu da abar lahu. So there's a story that supports Rav's view, and it's a dahu dabar lahu, because there's a story. One guy asked, "Man boy achvada, who wants to buy some achvada? I'm an achvada salesman." Ishtechach aravta, and it was found out that what was he selling? He was selling this willow, the eitz arava. So that supports Rav's explanation. Abba Rav Huda says, "Kadiv ein tzrichim rov." So again, the theory here is that you're allowed to light a fire to the point where you think that there's no concern you're going to play with the fire on Shabbos. So very often, it's only at a point where rov, the majority, catches fire. We're saying reeds, if you light reeds on Erev Shabbos close to dark, you don't need rov. You just need a little bit of fire to catch. Why? Because that when you light the reeds, they'll spread quickly. And then, but if Agdad, if you make them into one bundle, then Srichim Rov, then you need to light them Barov while it's still daytime. Because apparently if they're bundled together, the flame can't get inside. And therefore you might have to move it around in order to make the fire grow. And he says, same thing by Garinim, same thing with seeds of dates that dried up and you're using them for a bonfire. If they are scattered out, ein tzrichim rov, they don't need a rov, similar to what we said. But if noslam b'choslos, if you place them in these type of bags, I guess, that are made from palm branches, and then you put them into the this bonfire, Tzrichim Rov. You need that because they're all packed together so the fire doesn't spread. Now, Maski Vlar Rechista. Rechista actually has a different view on this. It seems to be a machlokas in Metzius, in reality. It's a little strange, but it says, Adrav, it's the opposite. Icha Mishrav, the opposite makes sense. Kanim mi Badram. The reeds that aren't bound together, they're scattered. And therefore, if fire catches on one branch, on one reed, who said it's going to light the next reed? But Agada lo mi Badram. But if they're bound together, they're not scattered. And therefore, even you light a little bit, then it will continue to spread. And he says, Garini mi Badran, Nisanan mechotzos lo mi Badran. Same thing with the date seeds. That if they're together, then they will catch fire easily. But if not, then they might not catch fire. So it's interesting. I'm not sure how to explain this halachically. This seems to be a machlokas in Metzius. Is what better? What's better if they're together or they're not together? What is easier to catch fire? The Gemara brings a third opinion. The Gemara says, Itmar, Amrav Kahana, Kadim She'agdan Tzrichim Rov. The reeds that you bind together, they require Rov, majority. But Lo Agdan, if you don't bind them together, Ain Tzrichim Rov, you don't need majority. That is like the first opinion, Rav Huda's opinion. But Garinim, but when it comes to the date seeds, when they're scattered, Tzrichim Rov, they do require majority. But Nasta Mechoslos, Ain Tzrichim Rov. But if you put them in a bundle, then they don't require rov. So apparently when they are together, then it's easier for them to be lit. So he makes a distinction between reeds and date seeds. I haven't tried either, so I don't know, you know, Metzius wise what is correct. But anyway, that's a three-way machlokas, three-way debate. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef learned the Braisa. Arba meduros ein tzrichim rov. There are four different types of meduros, of bonfires that don't require a majority before Shabbos for you to light them, because they light really quickly. And once you light them a little before Shabbos, we're not concerned that you will play with the fire. So what are they? So one of them is Shel Zephes, of pitch, Vishel Guffrey, and sulfur, Vishel Gvina, cheese, Vishel, I think this means Shel Revav, I guess, different types of, what is this, fat? How do you translate Revav? Shuman Vishava. So I guess it's like fat or wax. So
grease. Grease.
Grease. Okay, so that burns easily. Vimastisa Tada Af Shel Kash. In the Braisa, we learn even a straw, okay, or the ends of, kernels, Vishel Gvava, chaff, also burn quickly. Rav Yochanan, Eitzim Shel Bavel, Eitzichim Rov. The wood of Bavel does not require a rov. So, Maskif La, Rav Yosef asks, Mahi, what is this Eitzim Shel Bavel? So, Ileba, Silsi, if you want to say, it refers to just regular wood that you chopped into small pieces, like they would do in Bavel. Hashta, Psila, Omar, Ula, Hamadlik, Tarsh, Yalik, Berov, Hayotse, Silta, Bibai. Apparently, Ula said that, he said that by a Psila, by just the wick that's dipped in oil, that's easy to light. Nevertheless, Ula said you need Rov of the Psila, of the wick that's outside the Nair to be lit before Shabbos. So if that you need rov, so you can ask about silta. Certainly, this small piece of wood would also require rov. Ella Amar of Yosef, shocha de arza, the branch of a cedar wood that's very dry and thin, and it's sort of like wool-like, looks a little woolly-like, between the wood and the shell, between the tree and the bark. And once it grabs hold of the fire, then it will light very quickly. Rabbi Bar Abba Amar Zaza. He says that this wood is a Zaza, which is a dry branch of a tree. In this case, it lights really quickly. Hadrat Alach Yitzios HaShabbos. We will return in 7.5 years, if not sooner. Okay, now we're going to continue to Perek Beis. Okay, we say this pretty often. Okay, now, so here it says, "Bameh madlikim uvameh ein madlikim." With what do we light? So this perek this Mishnah in front of us describes lighting candles on Erev Shabbos and the details of the types of wicks and the types of oil that you are allowed to light Shabbos lights with, and which ones are forbidden to light. So the Mishnah says, with what can we light, with what can't we light? So Mishnah says, Eman Likin, you can't light lo belechesh, lo becholse, lo bechalach, lo bepsila se'idon, lo bepsila se'midbar, lo beroka she'al p'nei hamayim. The Gemara is going to explain what all these things are. You know, beroka she'al p'nei hamayim refers to mas on the water, but we're going to explain all these different types of things in the Gemara in a minute. And so, but these things are what are wicks. So if you use any of these materials, lechesh, chosen, chalak, psilas, eida, psilas, midbar, rokesh, el, pnei amayim, as wicks, you shouldn't use them for Shabbos as wicks, because the flame doesn't, you know, won't catch hold well. The next things have to do with using them for fuel, because they don't connect well with the wick. They're not drawn after the wick. So velo bezefes, lo bishav, lo shemen kik, lo shemen streif, lo be'alav, velo bechelev. So you can't do it with pitch or this doesn't literally mean whack. Well, we're going to see what shava means. Not shemen kik, shemen streifa. Shemen streifa means the oil of truma that became tameh, and you can't eat it, and you're supposed to burn it, and you can't do it with the fat of the tail of a sheep that you're allowed to eat, and you can't do it with chelev, with the fat of an animal that's forbidden to eat. Nacham Amadi Omer Madlika b'chelev avushal. Nacham Amadi says you are allowed to light with chelev that is cooked. And Chamim Omerim echan mavushal v'echan shein mavushal ein madlika bo. And Chamim say that you cannot light with forbidden fat that's whether it's cooked or not cooked. And obviously the Gemara is going to explain these situations. Okay, so now the Gemara is first trying to define what all these things are. So the Gemara says that, the Gemara starts off and the Gemara says, "Ein lo belechesh," right? You can't light belechesh. Now what is lechesh? Right? What is lechesh? So the Gemara says it's socha de arza. It's the branch of a cedar tree. So So the Gemara asks, socha de arza, right? Socha de arza is fit to be used as a wick, right? Is that really true? Is it fit to be used as a wick? Eitz ba'almahu. It is simply wood, and it's not fit for wick at all. What's the havamita? What? Why would you think that you can use it? It's not a wick. It's a piece. It's wood. So the Gemara answers, ba'am renisa de isbe. When it refers to this, it refers to the woolly-like substance that's between the shell of the, sorry, between the bark of the tree and the tree itself. That's fit for a wick, and that you can't use. What's v'lova chosen? You can't use chosen. So the question is, Amar Yosef, what's chosen? He says, ne'ores. It's like little pieces of, like flax, I guess. So Amar Abaye, v'hak siv, v'haya ha'chosen, that he says that the chosen will turn into naores. So that seems that they're different things. Elamar Abaye says, fine. What's chosen? Kitna de daik v'lo nafid. So it means it's uncombed flax. It's been crushed but uncombed. So it's a little different. Okay. Lo b'chalach. So you can't light with a wick that's from chalach. Amar Shmuel, shaltina l'chol nechusa yava. I asked all of the seafarers, what is chalach? They said it's kulcha. It's a little bit clearer, of course. So what is kulcha? So Rav Yisrael bar Ziri Amar Gushkara. So what is it? It's like the leftover of meshi. What's that again? It's like the psoles of
silk.
Silk, right, sorry. Thank you. So it's the psoles, the dregs, the leftover bad stuff of silk. Ravin va Abaye. So Ravid and Abaye were sitting in front of Ravda the Chebia, the brother of Resh Galusa. They saw that he was wearing a garment called Mitachsa. Ravid Abaye, oh, hi to Klach. You're wearing Klach. It's not that we learned the Mishnah. Amarle, Anan Shira Pranda, I called Shira Pranda. Okay. Veisve, we have a question. Is Shirayim HaKalach VaSirakin Chayav B'Tzitzis? The Bnei Yeshiva asked us in a brash that Shirayim, Kalach, and Sirakin are Chayav B'Tzitzis. So it seems that Shirayim and Kalach are different things. So Tiyufta, Dirav and Tiyufta. So this is a strong refutation. Not necessarily response to Gemara B'Yisema, but you can respond if you want. That Shira Lachud V'Shira Paranda Lachud. No, there's Shirayim, that's one type of material, and Shira Paranda is something different. And that's what Kalach is. Okay, Mishnah says you also can't use the wick called Psilas Ha'idan. The Gemara explains, what's Psilas Ha'idan? That is Achvida. This is the growth of the willow. Plant of the willow. So Rav and Rabbi Havakasli Vipaksa, they were walking in the village, the valley of Timarorisa. Okay, Chazira Lahanu Arbasa, they saw these aravos, these willows. Abar Le Ravin Labaya, Haidu Idan, Vitnan, ah, this is the Idan that we mentioned that in the Mishnah. Amalei Abaye, Hahi Eitz Ba'amahu. Yeah, but what do you, this is wood. How could it serve as a wick? So, Klafa Achfe Le Amri Nisa Devedi Bede. He peeled the shell of the bark of the tree, and he saw this woolly like substances that could be used as the wool. That could be used as the wick, and that's something that we don't allow for Neiros Shabbos. Now the Mishnah says, "V'lo b'psilas ha-midbar," not the wick of the midbar. What's that? So that's shavra. That's very long. How do they translate it? How do they translate shavra? It's a type of
tall
grass. The Rashi says, "Min eitz of arud," and they call it ortia. I don't know. Okay, it's very long and it's fit for a wick. V'lo b'roka sh'al p'nei amayim, and not on the with the moss. That's the green moss on the water. So Gemara clarifies what is mahi ilema uchmata de charit. If you're talking about they say the green stuff. Okay, so if we're talking about the green, the moss that grows on the standing water, iparichu mafrachan. It crumbles very easily. It cannot function as a wick. So Elamara Papa, Ukamta da Arba. So we're talking about moss that grows on in boats on the outer side. That apparently will not crumble. That could theoretically be used as a wick, but we don't allow it on Shabbos. Tana. So the Gemara brings a Braisa that adds other wicks that you can't use for Shabbos candles. Hosif Aleim Shotsem or Mishel Seyar. Any wick of wool or of hair. The Tana Didab, what about our Tana? Why did our Tana not include that? So he says, Tzemer, he says, once you light it, the fire doesn't catch. Machfat Kovitz, it doesn't light at all. Seyar Ach Icharuche Micharach. And also with the hair, it burns right away and it doesn't light at all. It doesn't have to mention these two items because it's not even practical because they won't light at all. So obviously you can't use them. So that's why our Tana didn't mention that. Okay. So then we said velo bezefes, that you can't use zefes. What's zefes? So zefes haidu zipsa. So what's it like? Pitch, right? So he says, and what's shava? So shava says kirusa. So this means the dregs of honey. Okay, you can't use that for fuel. Tana adkan psul psilos mikan ve'elach psul shmanim. So there's a brisa that says, until this part of the Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah, until Yeroko Shal Pnei Amayim, so that the Mishnah is talking about what wicks you cannot use to light Shabbos candles. After that, it tells you what fuel you cannot use for Shabbos candles. So Pshita, that's obvious. You know, why did it tell you this? So the Gemara says, Shaiva Itzrach Lei, I have to tell you about Shava, the dregs of the honey. Mahu de teba lipsilos nami lochas. Yeah, you might have argued that you just like you can't use shava for fuel, you also cannot use it for a wick. So kamash balan that comes to teach you that you can, that shava is only possible and valid when it for fuel. That's when you place the shava inside a lamp, and you place a wick inside the lamp and you light it. But if you made it like if you sort of fashioned the shava like a wick, then it would be kosher, then it would be fine. Let me just do two more lines here. The Gemara says, this ish amaran bar avin itrana psulta de zifta. So what itra? That's like tar? right? Is that tar? So that is the psoles of the zephes, and shava is the psoles, is the dregs of the honey. L'mayin afkamina is the first line of the next daf. What halacha? Why are you telling us this? That shava is the psoles of the dvash, the dregs of the honey. L'mekach u'memkar. Let's say we make a deal, and I say I'm going to sell you shava. So, and you say yes. So I can give you psoles dvash, and that's also defined as shava, and that's a valid sale. So that's a business discussion. Okay, that is the daf for today, everyone. I hope everyone.